Evening, take your seats, please. Who's going to pray? Kom, Erika, kom, bid vir ons. In Afrikaans.
Here Jesus, hoe absoluut wonderlik is dit om in gemeenskap te wees, Here. Waar ons net mekaar leer ken en elkeen so uniek geskaap, Here, en saam vorm ons hierdie absolute Here, die maniere is net so onbeskryflik groot en dit kan ons sien in elke een wat u gemaak het. En ek dank u net, Here, vir vanaand weer en dat Mel gister met my gepraat het, ons het amper uitgemis vanaand. En Here Jesus, ach, ek seën vir vanaand en dankie dat u teenwoordig is en ek bid Here Jesus dat ons u sal behaag deur dit wat ons sê en dit wat ons gaan doen en dat u ons geloof weer sal stuur vanaand. In Jesus se naam, amen.
Amen, beautiful. Maar Dennis het nie hier. U? Are you on? A bit this. There, from the aeroplane. All right, lekker. I was going to get Annie and Hilton to share, so who must I get to share? You and Hilton? Or you and Michelle? Okay, you and Michelle. There we go. No, no, no. You tried to put it onto him. You did. You did try and put it on him. No, no, no. Is he better with a mic? Come, Dennis, come tell us about Qatar.
One minute. Okay, family, all I can say is that our God is limitless. If you summarize the entire happening, I know each one would have experienced it differently. But ours wasn't only about what we experienced of this limitless and this the depth and the love and the grace of this God that we get to serve. The width, the girth, the depth of his love and what he can do. From last year's 700 where we thought it was groundbreaking, a Muslim-owned Hilton Hotel. Hilton owns it, and to get through to another hotel from 700 to 1,800. You know, one would think with the forces that were there last year trying to check what these guys are up to, one would sort of hush it down. But our God doesn't have those things in his economy. It is far bigger than what we can even imagine. The word says so. And with all that, as I said, each one will share it differently. Ours, the cherry on the top was on our flight back. Letitia, where's our doctor key? Letitia was with us. She sacrificed her seat for Annie because Annie had a little bit of a leg problem. So Annie went and sat on the third seat and we thought we'll be able to get her leg up because of the blood flow. And lo and behold, before 15 minutes before we leave, there's a lady that comes in. And we see, okay, it looks like an African lady from Africa, so it's fine. But all we get to do. Now, I'm just giving you the setup. So we said, okay, 1 second. But the beauty of it is she didn't know that there's a church in Doha. So we get her directed, we get her connected to Rob. And she's going to take a whole lot of other flight attendants because she works for Qatar Airways. She's got another dozen or two dozen flight. They don't know about Doha Fellowship. And that's what God has done. He's just adopted. I've now got a new daughter. God bless you.
It was a phenomenal time. I think last year we got a bit of a taste. This year was just, it was amazing. Don't know how to describe it. But I think for us it was extra special because we have a whole bunch of friends from Cape Town that are in Doha for various reasons, whether they're in the church, whether they're from work. And so it was a bit of a mini reunion for us. So it was really, really special. It was a really, I think we felt very privileged to be there. It's mind-blowing. The cultures and the different nations that are represented in that church, it just is something that you won't experience anywhere else. It's very, very unique. I think to be worshiping in a Muslim country in the middle of the desert, it is nothing short of miraculous. And yeah, so it was very special.
Okay, this is it's our last leaders meeting before the end of the year. The next one is a proper social, which we'll be having a big jaw at. So I would like us to study the Word of God. The next one is a social, isn't it?
End of year, yeah.
Jay was asking Adele if it was or not, so I was just checking. So if you can turn me, please, to Daniel chapter 9 and Jeremiah chapter 1. Daniel chapter 9 and Jeremiah chapter 1, please. And I'd like us to just get a little bit of word inside of us. I'd like to talk about the year, about the building project, where we're at. It's been a long journey, an 18-month journey. I don't know how Eugene is still in the church. We've put him through so much agony, but he's still standing. I don't know if he goes home to Wendy and says, those guys don't know what they're doing. But God somehow is using all of it to guide us and to lead us. And To go to Doha, and there's an economic crisis. Doha has got an embargo around it. That means all the United Arab Emirates have stopped trading with them. So you can't even fly directly. You have to fly all the way around and come and land. So it's an extra hour on the airplane trip. They don't have any. So if you want to fly from Emirates, whatever that place is called, what's it called? Dubai to Qatar. It's a 45-minute flight. But because of the embargo, it takes 8 hours to get there. So you have to fly to Muscat. Have a delay there, get it. So everybody who came from there had like 8 hour flights, which is the same flight. So their nation is on lockdown. There was no milk there, so they just flew 4,000 cows and started dairy farms. So they've had to come up with, and this conference, I think it cost them about 3 million rand. And literally it was to bring people from Pakistan and Sri Lanka and guys that they had planted churches with. One guy caught a bus for 12 hours, caught a train for 8 hours, and then had to see whether he could get a visa or not at the airport, got his visa and flew across. So, and these are our partners. So there's an incredible largeness inside of their hearts. They're trusting God. I mean, it was 1,800 people, then they said plus 500 children in this hotel, in a Muslim country. They're standing on their chairs and they are just screaming, Jesus. Very radical worship, very, very free, very inspiring. And Artie Kendall was there, Terry Virgo was there, 83 years old and 78 years old, powering for Jesus. Artie Kendall preached on total forgiveness, which is a message that I've heard him preach here before. I've heard him preach it 5 times. It is the most anointed he's ever preached it, and I would say 97% of people responded to the front to totally forgive people. So you realize the word is he was anointed. I did not hear a negative word come out of RT or Terry Virgo's mouth in the whole time. They don't speak badly of people. They don't speak badly of the church. They don't speak negatively of experiences. They don't speak badly of people that have hurt them. They don't speak badly of other denominations. That it is just beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. So my heart is stirred. I got caught with a lot of ministry, and one of the things that we'll be discussing tonight and we will look into is we need a ministry team to raise up in this church. And you can see I got caught many times in Qatar with people just flocking, and I realized we can't do it. We need to share the load in ministry. And I think there are people in this room that are highly qualified. And if it literally means put a shirt on that says ministry team, honestly, I can't. I said to the guys, I want to run away because I can't preach and I pour my heart out and then 25 people come. We actually got people in this room that are gifted to minister. And if that is you, I'd love you to come and just chat afterwards with one of the elders, with Jeff, and just put your names down so we can sit down, talk through with some of the counselors and ministers. But I realize if we don't share the load, we're going to limit growth. Because it's just impossible. Something's going to break, you know. And I see these guys, they're old now, but they're doing what God has called them to do. And let everybody else do what God's called them to do, you know. And I think they're just
It's one of the things we need to talk about. Okay, so let's have a look at Daniel chapter 9. And I just want to make about 6 or 7 points tonight. Very simple. And then I want to talk about the building in that. I want to talk about the church plant. I want to talk about the Antioch-based church and just the call of God. And I think we have to change. I hear already, it's been a long year. It's the end of the year. I think that's worldly language. I really do. I honestly do. I don't think it should change if we're in God. And I'm also tired, and I've also been busy, and I haven't been well, and all those things. But I think we have to, you've got to watch your lips. You've got to watch your lips that we can actually process this season with faith in our hearts and not wind down like the whole world winds down, drop our guard and do something stupid. So I see RT more passionate at 83 than I was at 30, you know, and it's challenging for me that. It's challenging. So this is what it says, Daniel chapter 9. It says, in the first year of Darius, say Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler, say ruler, over the Babylonian kingdom. So he's a ruler over a kingdom. In the first year of his reign, so he's reigning, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and I pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting, in sackcloth, and in ashes. And if we go to Jeremiah, I'd like to read the whole chapter of Jeremiah chapter 1. And it's a chapter where I believe we're learning lessons from a young man here. He's a very young person. And but he's a prophet that has stood the test of time. And even Daniel, when he was an old age, was encouraged by what Jeremiah wrote. That's what we've just read, Daniel. Daniel was 80 years old, and he was encouraged by what a young boy wrote. Because that's what happens when you do what God calls you to do. You'll be encouraged many, many, many years later. You'll still be encouraged. Okay? So the words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the priests of Anathoth in the territory of Benjamin, the word of the Lord, say word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah, and through the reign of Joachim, just underline those words, son of Josiah, king of Judah, underline reign and king, down to the 5th month of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, when the people of Jerusalem went into exile. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. I believe that's what God has done for 3CI. Our sovereign Lord said, I do not know how to speak. I'm only a child. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and I will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth. That's beautiful, eh? Reached out his hand and touched my mouth. I preached this. God gave me this word in the last few weeks. And Hilette Buerta was sitting there, and Wendy Virgo was sitting there. And I thought, I can't reach out and touch Jane's lips because Jeff would be cross with me. And rightfully so. And I can't reach out and touch Tara's lips because Craig would be cross with me, and rightfully so. It's very intimate to touch somebody's lips, but I can reach out and touch my wife's lips. Very intimate. Very intimate. Very, very intimate. And then around here are thousands of nerves. When they kiss here, your whole body changes and your chemistry changes and your hormones change. And God says, I'm going to come. You want to be a prophetic church in the city? They'll be very intimate with you. I'm going to touch parts of you that nobody else is allowed to touch. I'm going to touch you. Now I've put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations, over kingdoms, to uproot and to tear down, to destroy and to overthrow. Very big words, very strong words. Uproot, tear down, destroy, overthrow, to build and to plant. And the word of the Lord came to me, "What do you see, Jeremiah?" "I see the branch of an almond tree," I replied. And the Lord said to me, "You have seen correctly, for I'm watching to see that my word is fulfilled." And some people say that the word almond and the word watching is very similar, so God is watching. And some of the commentators say the almond tree is the first one to bud. The Lord said to me, "You have seen correctly, for I'm watching to see that my word is fulfilled." The word of the Lord came to me again. "What do you see?" "I see a boiling pot tilting away from the north," I answered. The Lord said to me, "From the north, disaster will be poured out on all who live in the land. I'm about to summon all the peoples of the northern kingdoms," declares the Lord. "Their kings will come and set up their thrones in the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem. They will come against all her surrounding walls and against all the towns of Judah. And I will pronounce my judgments on my people because of their wickedness in forsaking me, in burning incense to other gods and in worshipping what their hands have made. Get yourself ready, stand up, and say to them whatever I command you. Do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Today, I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar, and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you. For I am with you, and I will rescue you, declares the Lord." Incredible scripture, eh? I want to just make 6 or 7 points. The first one is this, guys. The history of humankind is always registered or noted by who the authorities are in charge. So when you read in the book of Daniel, it says this guy was king. He was reigning. He was in charge of the kingdom. When we read here, it says this guy was king. Then that guy was king. And this guy was king. And the other guy was king. But next to it, it says the word of God existed. And so what happens now, our economy is being shaken now because Donald Trump, who's in charge of America, is putting up embargoes against China, and China are making some kind of deal with Saudi Arabia, who control the oil, and so the oil prices are being shot up because we've got a group of world leaders that are dictating what economics should be happening and what politics should be happening, but next to it, we've got the Word of God. And when I look at RT and Terry, I'm so impassioned and emboldened to continue to preach the word of God without any form of watering it down, without any form of trying to be nice to a culture, but know that the word of God is more powerful than any king. And we can go through Franklin D. Roosevelt, we can go through Churchill, we can go through Stalin, we can go through Hitler, we can go through all the kings, they're all dead, and the word of God still exists. And we have been called in this church to preach the word of God. And it doesn't matter what the authority is. And we've got to be very careful as leaders in God's church not to keep registering this season of our lives by Mandela or by Ramaphosa or by the Zuma years or by the Brexit years or by the whatever the embargo is. That is not how we define our existence in this city. We define our existence by the word of God. And that has got to be what we preach Sunday after Sunday, Tuesday after Tuesday, that people find courage again. Afrikaans people, English people, Zulu people, black people, white people, the Word of God exists and will continue to exist when you and I have gone. And friends, just the example we have to use is Acts chapter 12. It starts, it says Herod was on the throne, James was dead, Peter was in prison. It is an incredibly... For the church, it looks like everything has come to an end. And it says, but the church prays earnestly, like we did on Tuesday night. And it ends like this. Herod is dead. Peter is free. And the word of God continues to increase and spread. And it's got to get back in our hearts, guys. It's got to be back in our hearts. And this is what I believe God say. My word will outlast any leader in the world or in the church. And so we've been thinking long and hard about our stay in Pretoria and about our tent and about our witness and about our worship and about and how we have to build something that's going to outlast us. And so we've been on a journey. We've been on a journey to say we have to build something here that is significant, that can take more people, that can outlast our reign. And continue to declare the gospel to the nations of the world. And the thing that worried me was money. And I feel like God has settled that. I'll tell you what happened. My wife gave me this watch for my 50th birthday. Beautiful watch. Cost a lot of money because I love watches. And I gave it away to one of my friends on his 50th birthday. And then a young man that I said I would pay for him to fly to America because he wants to go and study over there. I said to him, I'll pay for your airplane ticket. He phoned me and said, God woke him up and said, I've invested enough in his life. God told him to invest in my life. So he gave me the money to buy another watch like this. So I bought it. And it was on my arm for 3 hours, and I was in a business meeting, and the CEO walked past me and started burning on my arm. So I gave it to him. A CEO of a big company here. And I thought, God, I feel like maybe I'm just doing too much. I'm operating emotionally. And the church in Qatar decided, because I've been involved for so long, they want to bless me, and they gave me the identical. Wow. The identical. Watch. I was so nervous when they dropped me at the hotel. They gave me this present, and I saw it was a box, and I said, sorry, I'm so tired, I can't open it tonight, because I just didn't want it to be a horrible watch. Because life's too short to wear horrible watches. And when I opened it in the morning, I just thought, God is with us. God is with us. God sees. God sends a guy in Qatar to go and buy a watch for a guy in South Africa, and it's the exact same watch. And God says, I'm in the details of, it's 18 months. It's been frustrating. It's been a little bit, but the timing is perfect. And so I've been looking, one of the things that's worried me is that this church has been called to a radical worship. And I'm so concerned. One of the things Terry Virgo said, he said, don't let human beings set your agenda. Don't let humans set your agenda. And he said, we are meant to be praying as Christians and as leaders. We should be giving our best time to pray. And so he joined the church. He said, the church he's now part of, he said, great leader, above average preacher, no growth in the church. So Terry joined the church, got an office in their building, and he started a prayer meeting with the elders every single morning. Tuesday to Friday, every morning for an hour, they prayed together and the church started to grow. You see, friends, we've got to ask who's setting the agenda. It's either humans setting the agenda or God is setting the agenda for our lives. And when we get so busy and our disciplines go, this thing will get hold of us. But we want to get back to where I believe God has called us to be, like Jeremiah the prophet, where we stand up in front of people and set the agenda of what God has called us to and not let the culture set the agenda. We had radical worship there in a Muslim country, with freedom that I've not seen for many, many years in the church. And I thought, 3CR is called to this. But we're nervous about what people think. This scripture says, either you'll be terrified in front of them or I'll terrify you. And I say, God, I'd much rather be terrified in your presence than be scared of what people think about me. Amen? And so we've been on a journey, and it's gone from tent, which is awesome, and we can replace this tent, and then we went to just a building, and then we've looked around buildings, and Eugene and Ferdy have been on a tour all around basically the world and around the country, and the best building we can see for worship. Remember, I believe as Jeremiah was called to, I believe one of the greatest things we can do to this city is bring worship in. And the best way to do that is to actually have a U-shaped building with raised seating where people who come in late can still visually see how others worship. So here, you're standing 30 meters from the front and you can't see the first 5 or 6 rows worshiping. So one of the phrases that the team have come up with, let's not try and fit a meeting into a building. Let's have a meeting and try and build a building around it. And so that's what we're trying to do. And so that's the journey we've been on. And all I'm going to do is drop a seed in your heart and let you go and work it through. What does it mean to be like Jeremiah the prophet, in a city which is quite religious. But not just morph into another church in suburbia that looks cool. We are called to be radical. If you look at the church at Antioch, there are three things: generosity, worship and prayer, the raising of leaders, and mission. That's how they existed. And I believe that's what God has called us to do. To be a generous people who worship and pray, raise up leaders, and send people on mission. Planting of churches full-time and sending of teams part-time, ongoingly. That's what God has called us to. Amen? So number one, the Word of God always outlives leaders. So Hans is gone, Nick is gone, Ashley's gone, Rory will be gone, Adrian's going to be gone, other guys will go, but the Word of God will continue to outlive them all. Continue to outlive them all. And so we mustn't determine our existence by who's in charge. We must determine our existence by what the Word of God is. Amen? The second thing, friends, we have to develop a culture of saying yes all the time. Just to always say yes. I'm too old, I'm too young, I stutter, I this, I that. Jeremiah, will you go and speak? You would think God would choose, he's got an obstinate people in a foreign country. You think that God would choose a brilliant orator with an unbelievable track record, with incredible victories and amazing success and unbelievable skills. And God says, I don't need that. I'll choose a kid. Because the power is not in the person, the power is in the Word. The power is in the Word. And so the reality is, we're building a church around celebrities and around gifts. You have to have gifts. But actually, God has showed us the power is in the Word. So the main preacher got taken out of here by the devil or by God, I believe by God, so that the Word could take its rightful place on the throne, and we welcome in 200 new members in our next, or 180 new members in our next Sunday after next. And we actually don't know who's carried the preaching load. Just say yes to Jesus. Amen. Don't make excuses. Is your home group not growing? Get on your knees and pray with your wife every day. If you're a single person, get a prayer partner and get on your knees and pray and ask God to grow your home group. And trust Him and get up in the Word and let God speak to you through the Word. Amen? Don't get into this the end of year and we're starting to... No. Get on your knees every day. Get the Word of God into your heart. Get stronger, not weaker. Amen? You with me, friends? Number three, I want Jesus to touch my lips when I speak to the church. I want to be gentle with the church. I want to be intimate with the church. I don't want to shout at the church. I don't want to use my personality with the church. I want to speak with lips that have been kissed by Christ. What it says in Zechariah, it says, then will I purify the lips of my people so that they may serve me shoulder to shoulder. The demise of this church will be loose lips in leaders. The blessing of this church will be the ability for Jesus to touch us, and nothing comes out of our mouths except that which is ordained by Christ. Allow Him to kiss your lips. Two very ordinary men. One was a tugboat driver in a Muslim country, said yes to Jesus. He didn't even have an oratory gift. But he said yes to Jesus. He studied the Word. He learned how to pray. God started to speak to him. He started speaking. And people started to get saved. And now there's a church of 2,500 people in a Muslim nation that has planted 18 churches around the world. He said, Dave, will you tell me about Rob? Rory. I love that man. Rob, will you tell me about Dave? It's my father. I love that man. I love that man. Stand up. Dave, I want to honor you. He stands up. Rob, I want to honor you. Helette, I want to honor you. When leaders have lips that are kissed from heaven, the community will thrive. The community will thrive. You drive past Doxa, bless it. You drive past Morale, bless it. You drive past, just bless it. Just bless every church you drive past. Don't tell that their leader's different to us. Don't tell us they worship. Just bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Put your hand on your mouth like this. Say, Jesus, please touch my lips. You know, in the book of Isaiah, God will always touch your lips, either with his hand or his mouth. In the book of Isaiah, if your lips are dirty, he'll touch it with a coal from the fire. Say, Jesus, please. I don't want a coal to touch my lips. I want your hand to touch my lips. I want your mouth to touch my lips. Not a coal. Please, Jesus, keep my lips clean. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot. Say uproot. Tear down, very strong word. Destroy, to overthrow, to build and to plant. I woke up in the morning, I thought, I wonder how I come out of this conference. And I realized part of it, our mindset is you go to a conference to get built up. But I think if you go to a conference, sometimes you actually have to go and get broken down. And I think when you come to church, part of you needs to get broken down. That phrase on the wall from Galatians is a very provocative phrase to people who have grown up in religious environments. And so what's happening in Galatians right now, friends, is not a building up process. In some people's lives, they're actually being broken down Sunday after Sunday, walls that are thick, that have got concrete, that have got loyalty, that have got their parents, that have got 100 years in a religious institution. Those walls are getting bashed down Sunday after Sunday, but that's what God's called us to do. And so actually, it's not just a building up church. It's a breaking down church. And we have to be open to God to get inside of us. Terry Virgo preached on prayer. It was like I got hammered by a 10-pound hammer. Because I leave early in the morning my house to go and meet people at the bridge who live in Joburg, who work in Joburg, because actually that's the only time that they can meet. And they set my agenda. And before I know it, it's 11 o'clock and I haven't got into a place of prayer. And Terry Virgo preached about the priority of prayer. He broke down some very unhelpful foundations in my life that I have to rebuild now. Ask yourself, right? And they come and join our church, and they've come from other churches, and they can't. We don't just build a wall on top of their wall, and otherwise we'll get very freaky. We are called to be an apostolic, prophetic household that raises leaders, releases generosity, sends people to other places, blesses other churches. Don't draw attention to ourselves. Don't build around a single gift, but build around the team, including a ministry team. And I think we need to trust God for a base that can handle that. A base here that we can hand over to the next generation. And one of the things around the tent, and I know it's pioneering, and I had to eat my words, but I realized we're going to build this tent, and in 10 years' time, somebody else is going to have to pay 20 million rand to replace it. And then in 10 years' time, somebody's going to pay. And I thought, no, let's pay a price to build a base here. It's going to cost us extra 10 or 15 million rand. Let's trust God to build a base to preach the word that will outlast leaders. And they won't remember Nick Davis or Heinz or Rory. But Sunday after Sunday, they would look in this U-shape, banked seating. they will look across and think, I don't know how to worship, but that God does, and that girl does, and that God does. And the room of 2,500 gets drawn in to a place of worship, and people get set free. And those who come late go and sit right up at the top, and they look down at 800 worshippers. We can trust God, I believe. We can trust God. I don't think it's financial. I think it's calling. I think it's calling. I don't know, God, how you did this. I don't know how you did this watch thing. But you did. You got to break some things down in our hearts and break some things down in our religious upbringing. But I know this. I can't with conviction stand up in the front and preach and not offend people if they need to be offended. And Adrian, in his gentle way, will get up and preach on Galatians 3. But you've got to know inside there's a war going on in some people's hearts around freedom and the gospel. There's a war going on. You okay? It'll always be successful. What do you see? I see an almond tree. It'll always be successful. God will always make sure that His word comes to pass. Every word that's preached here will come to pass. What do you see? I see the almond tree. I see the blossoming. You know, friends, I keep going back. I was at my business this week and had to fire somebody for stealing. But when I was in the midst of that trouble, God gave me Isaiah 61. This is how it goes. Aliens will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will take care of your fields. You will be called a minister of God. I will turn this disgrace into a double inheritance, and I, the Lord, love justice. And on Tuesday before I flew to Qatar, there's a man in this church that I married, 50-year-old man from Holland. I married him, and he phoned me. His name is Frank. I was at the blockhouse, and I picked up the phone. I said, "Hey, Frank, how's it, buddy?" He said, "It's not Frank." I said, "It is Frank." It says Frank Holland on my phone. He said, "It's not Frank." I said, "Who is it?" He said, "It's Justice." I said, "Justice, the chairman of Shell." He said, "Yes, Justice, the chairman of Shell." I said, "Hi, Mr. Chairman." He said, "I've just met one of your congregation." Because God said, "I love justice. I love justice." If God gives you a word, it will always come to pass. And now the chairman of Shell and I are just we're buddies now. Because God said, "I, the Lord, love justice." And the managers are still running the business. Aliens will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will take care of your fields. You will be called a minister of God. And I will turn this disgrace into a double inheritance. And our business is growing substantially. We've had the best year of our lives in our business. We've got 30% growth in one department. We've got 40% growth in another department. In a year of deep economic crisis, I will turn your disgrace when I didn't know where to turn. Because what do you see? I see an almond tree. Where are you, friend? Where's your home group? How's your job going? Get on your knees and cry out to God until He shows you an almond tree. That's the leaders God wants to raise in this church. Oh, I can see the rand going all over the place. I can see the petrol price going up. I can see the EFF caught up with the VBS bank. I can see all sorts of things with a natural eye. But what can you see? Your spirit. I see the branch of an almond tree, God. What's God prophesied to you, Erica? What's God prophesied to you about a house? What's God said to you about a house? Not once, not twice. I think 5 times God has spoken to you about a house. Get back on your knees until God shows you the branch of an almond tree. What did He say to you, Peter, about your children, about your sons? Your sons like arrows in the hand of an archer. All 3 of your sons. Picked. Straight, feathers, point. Just shoot them one after the next out of your house. One after the next. One after the next. What's God said to you as a businessman? You've bust your guts for 3 years. What did He say? I see the branch of an almond tree, Richter. I see the branch of an almond tree. Thank you, Jesus, for Rob Duncan, for Jackie. Thank you, Lord God, that they see clearly. Thank you, Lord, for blessing his business. Thank you, Lord, that he works so hard. Father God, thank you for the influence that Jackie has amongst people, influential people, school people, all those around. Thank you, Jesus. I see the branch of an almond tree. What else do you see, Jeremiah? I see a pot tilting away from the north. It doesn't always come without challenges. It's been the hardest year of my life. It felt like the pot tilted from the north. It felt like fury got tilted against me. And I was doing really well until the call conference, and the guy said, don't have the call conference, and because I felt loyal to the call conference, it was all cool, and we had the call conference, and I got straight back into my cycle of busyness, and the elders had to sit me down and said, you didn't listen to us. And it's not the devil's doing, it's God's doing, because God wants to get our attention. And God is perfectly in charge of this country. Amen. He will use anything. He will tilt any pot, any direction to get your attention. He can tilt the pot this way. He can tilt it to the east. He can tilt it to the west. He can tilt the pot however he wants. But he wants our attention. Why? Because he wants to teach us how to stand for the thing that he's called us to do. Stand, Jeremiah. Stand. Rory, I want 3CR to stand as a prophetic voice to this nation of how to build a team. I want it to stand about radical worship. I want it to stand in terms of general and radical generosity. When everybody's building themselves, I want you to give. I want you to be a generous church. I want you to be a missional church. I want you to be a worshiping church. I want you to stand. Like RT at 83? Yes, like RT. Like Terry at 78? Yep. We don't have retirement mentality. We don't have end of the year mentality. We have prophetic mentality. We will speak because our power doesn't come from our being. Our power comes from heaven. Young man, you talk and change the world. And Daniel, who made a decision for Jesus at 14, when he was 80 years old and he didn't know what was going to happen, he got down on his knees and he read the book of Jeremiah. And he was encouraged. And when we do what God calls us to do, when the leaders have gone, the city will still be deeply encouraged by this book. What do you see? I see the branch of an almond tree. What do you see? I believe, friends, I believe that God is calling us in this country right now to build something, a base, an Antioch base, where we can send Adrian and Antoinette and many others, James Lennox and Vanessa, the Foxes to Benoni, and many others from this base, that we won't use all our resources for ourselves, but we will build a base that other people won't have to pay a price for, that we can pay a price for, so that the gospel can be proclaimed. And I believe the Bible says Jesus will rescue us. He will look after us. He won't lead us down. So we trust in God for a significant base to continue to preach the gospel. In Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know what to do now. What do we do, buddy? Hey? What do you say, Pete? What must we do now, Jeff? Yes and amen. Let me read this quickly again. Get yourself ready. Stand up and say to them whatever I command you to say. Whatever, Lord God, yep. You speak Galatians to Afrikaans people. Whatever I command you to say, Adrian. You get yourself ready today and tomorrow, Adrian. You pray yourself hot, my friend. You read that word until you know it backwards. You get yourself ready in your heart and in your mind and in your brain and in your lips. And you stand up on Sunday. And you say whatever God commands you to say. Exactly what He commands you to say. And do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Be brave on Sunday as you preach the gospel to people who are caught in religion. Today I've made you a fortified city, an iron pillar and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. Friends, I believe we have the most exciting and terrifying season ahead of us as a church. But we have to take back the prophetic mantle I believe God has called us to. It's not about mega church. It's about influencing and releasing people to the fullness. Jesus became the Word. Jesus never said no to God. Jesus was the almond branch. Jesus became the fortified city. Lord, I pray that we'd be different to the world, Lord. The end of the year would not mean retirement, Lord God. 83 years old, RT, preaching. 97% response, Lord God. 97% response. Weeping. Wendy Verger, up to the front first, Lord God. 75 years old, responding first to the Word of God. I pray, Lord God, that we'd have a leadership team that get resourced on their knees and encouraged from the Word. Because the Word will always, always, always outlast leaders. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Please join us for something to drink and eat.
Titled it, What Do You See? And at the time, he was, they were praying into their building of the church that I was in at the time. And for 8 years, their building had stood still, midway. They had like a side hall that they were using to meet that was chock-a-block. And they'd had finances come in for half of the new facility. And then it had just dried up. And for 8 years, it just was dry. And my dad kept preaching, What Do You See? What do you see? What do you see? Through also economic climates that were all over the place, people leaving, immigrating, and he just kept preaching, What do you see? And it was literally after that time in Brazil, within 6 months, because I got married 6 months after that time, that's how I remember. Within that 6 months, they had three offerings from three individuals of, I think the one was 2.5 million, the other one was 1.3 million, and I think the other one was 800,000 or something like that. Three individuals. 6 months, they built the rest of that facility, done. They are now living in the fullness of it. They're flourishing. I mean, my dad doesn't get to see it, but that church is pumping. What do we see?
Beautiful. Okay.
I got the privilege of going with to Doha, and I agree with Raw. I saw a picture of what church can be like. We've got an incredible church here. That's not, but there was a radicalness and a picture of what heaven's actually going to be like, of different nations and tribes and tongues worshiping together radically. And I actually went up to Raw after one of the meetings and I said, there's something here that we're going to take back. And it's a picture of what we're going to walk into. And Lord, I want to thank you for this church. I thank you for Raw's first words. Actually, does she still take your breath away? Lord, this church still takes my breath away. But we're asking you for more, Lord. We're asking you to stir up something in us as a leadership team as to what you are going to do, what you are busy with, what you are calling us to. That right now, as we're always preaching, that faith and that courage that is rising up inside of us, that you are placing inside of us, that would not leave us. That tomorrow as we wake up, we would find that courage, that faith through what you are doing, Lord. Where we wake up the day after that, we would find the courage and the faith to see what you are doing in our life group, in our home, in our spheres of influence, in our businesses, in what you are doing in our church, Lord. I thank you for what you're busy with. I thank you for what you're calling us into. I pray that you would give us a courage and a boldness to step into this. In economic crisis, doing something that seems ridiculous, but is because you are calling us to it. And because you are calling us to it, you will resource it, Lord. You are a lavish God. You are an incredible Father. You have shown us. You have shown us what you are like. Exodus 34, you are the God, the gracious, compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. Why would you not sustain us, resource us, and allow us to build something that is going to resource the world, that is going to resource nations, that is going to send out church plant after church plant after church plant, because your local church is what's going to change this world, Lord. We are crying out for revival for our nation, for the world. I pray that you would start with us, like Raw, the conviction for a man to say, I've done stuff wrong and I'm going to make changes. Lord, start with us. Show us where we need to make changes. Show us where we need to be the change that we want to see in our church, in this city, in this nation. Lord, let us live each and every day how you have called us to live. Each and every day how you are making us. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing, Lord. I pray that this courage would carry us day by day by day. When we're faced with the hardships of life, with the struggles, with a loss here and there, Lord, we would realize that we're not doing this alone, but you are right with us. What's going to set us apart? Nothing but you going with us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
You're welcome to keep your eyes closed. This was an email that was written to the leadership team. And before I read it, you heard Raw share about us having a conversation with him, sitting down after the call. And one of the things that we requested was, we don't think you should go to Qatar. We don't think you should go to Doha, Raw. It says this. Dear leadership team, thank you so much for your incredible support at our Impact Conference this past week. The 3CR team were brilliant and added such value everywhere they went. They were a credit to you as an eldership, but also to 3CR as a whole. They encouraged us through their support, and many lasting friendships were started throughout the church. This was always a part of the dream, being partners of the gospel with others on the other side of the world. Thank you for sending Rory and Mel to be with us. For Rory, it's been his 14th visit. With two more to go, it equaled a trip to the moon. He's already traveled the equivalent of 7 times around the earth to be with us, serving us so well. As this was our 20th birthday, this was a celebration of part of your inheritance here in the Middle East. You heard what Rory spoke about earlier, about us being a church that goes to the nations. Rory was on fire, not only preaching brilliantly with power and anointing, but he imparted his life to us, strengthening us, challenging us, encouraging us, showing us more of Jesus. Mel added such presence, such wisdom, such grace. We're truly thankful to God and to you for sending them. Thank you, guys, for you know not now how far and wide the impact of this weekend will be felt. More than 60 nationalities, 34 different churches from across the globe. We love you guys, so appreciative for your partnership in the gospel. May many more Doha fellowshipers attend the core conference and our ongoing partnership with 3CR. Thank you for your ventures across the earth, and may many, many me from 3CR be welcomed here in years to come. God bless you guys. Rob and Alette Puerta, on behalf of Doha Fellowship. And the reason why I share that, friends, is that I think tonight is not just about a building, but it's also about a call to what God has called us as a leadership for, as Rowan Muller at the forefront of it, leading it. And they don't want me to read that because it puts an emphasis on them, but it's less about that, but it's actually less, it's more about what you and I are called to. And as I exemplifying that as at the forefront of an arrow, spearheading what God has called us to. So I think even as Roar shared around Daniel 9, around Jeremiah 1, the challenge is that we are a going people. We are a people that would make an impact. Is it Qatar? Is it Mozambique? Is it Zimbabwe? Is it America? Because this is what's just happened with a team of 20 people in the middle of Qatar. It's not just a building. It's also us an ability to disciple nations. And I think that email exemplifies it more than any one of us could explain it.
Let's just close our eyes for 2 or 3 minutes. Just let God do his work. Impregnate our hearts, God, with your word. Impregnate our hearts, God. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to 3CI. The word of the Lord came to 3CI, to the leaders of 3CI. I've called you to uproot, to tear down, to destroy, to build and to plant. I've called you to uproot, to tear down, to destroy, to build and to plant. Build marriages. Plant seed. Plant churches. Build and to plant. To build and to plant. Tear down religion. Tear down brokenness. Destroy lies. Destroy evil habits. To build and to plant. To build and to plant. To build and to plant. I've called you. 3CI, the word of the Lord has come to build and to plant, tear down, destroy. Prophesy, Lord God, worship leaders will be raised from this church that will go to the nations of the world. Lord God, there's a Nepalese boy, young man, leading worship, probably one of the top 3 or 4 most anointed men I've ever seen in my life, from Nepal. On a guitar, he doesn't even know he's gifted. He just plays. He closes his eyes, you touch his lips, and he takes people into heaven. I prophesy they will be raised in this church. Worship leaders to impact the world. You're not worried about their performance. Don't worry about what people think. Shut their eyes and take people to heaven. Prophesy that, Lord. I pray shackles would break over religious people in this church. Break, Lord. Break off their feet. Break off their hands. Break. Jesus. 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 Jesus.
Why don't we stand and just, let's pray in tongues. Let's just ask God to, I don't know what he's doing. I just know he's doing something.
Our Father, we thank you that whether we be young Jeremiahs or older Daniels, that your word of God is honored and that we would hear it. And we would be encouraged, and we would be built up, and we would be changed, and we would be fashioned. Let not one of us move away from your great word of God. I pray that you keep every one of us safe as we stand on your word, the precious word of God. I thank you that you've given it to us. You've placed it in our hands and in our hearts and our minds. And I ask that tonight we would have courage to go on the journey with you. That when there are times when we feel nervous about what you've called this church to do and to be, you would remind us of your word. And it would be in us, God. And so, Father, we thank you that you have challenged and strengthened us tonight. And we lift our heads and we look ahead to what you have for us. And we are encouraged, God. And we feel you inside of us. Go with us, please, precious Lord. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. There's lots of food. Coffee stations will be open. I think some people need to sit. God is busy. He's busy reminding you of some things. He's reminding you of some words that were spoken over your lives. Amen.
Sorry, I just want to share this. As Rory was saying, how we need to break our walls down, I was just reminded of that song that just says, Spirit, come down, break our walls down. And I feel for us, for our walls to be broken down, we need that Holy Spirit to move with us. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you that you're here, Spirit of God. And Holy Spirit, I just pray that you will fill this place tonight. I pray that you will blow like a wind, a rushing wind, and fill us renew, and come and fill us afresh like we've never felt before. And I pray that we will humble ourselves and allow you to move freely in our hearts and to do what you need to do with us so we can become the people that you want to use. May you break our walls down bit by bit, so that you can rebuild it. In Jesus' name I pray.
It's beautiful.
I just want to leave you with a picture. The almond blossom, if you see the rolling hills of Israel. The almond blossom is the first blossom to bloom, and it actually is significant of a new season and may be a new heart for us, or Jesus coming and bringing the new testament, and or may it be Antoinette and you having a new season in Stellenbosch. So where you all are, definitely a sign of new beginnings.
Okay. Amen. Beautiful. Come, Paul. Just keep them short, guys.
I'll keep it very short.
I just want to encourage everybody. During the call, I went into a fasting period, and God gave me a scripture, which is from Jeremiah. And I really want to encourage everybody here to dig deep when it comes to the words that you use. When Rory said, "Touch my lips, O God," this just spoke to me again. Jeremiah 15, verse 19 says, "Therefore, this is what the Lord says. If you repent, I will restore you, that you may serve me. If you utter worthy words, not worthless words, you will be my spokesman. Let this people turn to you, but you must not turn to them." And God, that touched me so much, because I was standing here and talking, because we are bound by what the devil brings into our lives, lies. It's nice to talk about people. It's nice to talk ill words. And I just want to encourage you, Rory, this just speaks to what you said tonight. We have to start speaking worthy words. Afrikaans says, don't be onverantwoordelik met jou woorde. Don't be onverantwoordelik. Just be worthy. That's it.
Just as Chris and Anique, when you walked in, God just highlighted you to me. And I'm just going to ask Rob and Suzanne and the guys around them, why don't you just lay your hands on them? And I believe God's empowering you. God's restoring, whatever it might be. So, Father God, just continue to do your work in this amazing couple. Father, fill them afresh with your Holy Spirit, with fire, Father. Courage in their hearts again, Father. Strengthen their bones again. Pray that you fill them afresh tonight again, Father. Put that fire that died, once burned very bright, put it back in their hearts, Father. Back in their hearts, Father, as the year is shutting down. Raise them up, King. Raise them up, King. Continue to do the good work and complete what you've started in them, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I was challenged tonight, and I want to put a challenge to you. Rory made a call for radical worship. And there was a time in Glenridge where I danced before the Lord. Israel, I jumped this high before God. I sat there, and while he was speaking, I felt the Spirit say, "Stand up." I said, "Lord, I can't." And eventually, I got the courage together to stand up. And God said to me, "Stand on your chair." I said, "God, I can't." And I looked around and everybody's sitting. Do you know how it feels when you stand and everybody's sitting? God said to me, "Stop looking around. My boy, I called you to radical worship. Radical worship. Start jumping again. Start dancing again. Don't be weird. Be worshipful. Be radical." I want to challenge you guys. It's time that we stand on our chairs and we jump this high and we worship God for who he is, and let's see what God's going to do in this church. We've lost it. We've got to get radical worship back. There was a time where I worshiped him wholeheartedly, radically, jumped around. I saw a guy danced and a lady broke her ankle because of radical worship. Don't quote me on that, but you get the picture. The roar was there. Radical worship. 1,000 people on a prayer evening every single Thursday night. Radical worship. We got to take back what the enemy has stolen.
Great, guys. What a great evening. I don't know what happened, but something happened. Yeah, don't break your leg. You know, the last time I was in Qatar, a man called Aggie and his wife Maria walked up to me and gave me an envelope full of money. And I knew it wasn't for me. So I had it in the top drawer of my desk for 18 months. And I've always, every time I open my top drawer, I just see love from Aggie and Maria. And I've never thanked them, but I don't know who they were. They're just strangers who gave me this money. And one of my neighbors went bankrupt, had no money, moved to the Middle East to get a job, and had literally didn't have money for coffee. And I opened this envelope. It felt like very holy money. I gave it to our neighbor so they could get a first night's accommodation and some meals in the Middle East. And while I was preaching, I just said, I want to thank you, Aggie and Maria, for putting that seed in my hand 18 months ago. And while everybody was being thanked and people were being honored, she turned to her husband and she said, how come God doesn't remember the seeds that we've put into other people's hands? And within 30 seconds, her name had been mentioned from the microphone. God knows every seed that you've put into any soil, any time. Every seed that you've put into any soil, any time, He knows. And the Bible says, God cannot be mocked. What you sow, you will reap. God bless you.